to Mental Talks, a podcast aimed at fighting the stigma around mental health. My name's Paul Hanna.
I'm Luce O'Kane.
And I'm Ryan North, and each episode will openly discuss topics relating to mental health.
Hello and welcome to Mental Talks, Season 2, Episode 2.
Hi everyone, how are you?
Welcome everyone.
Welcome to the 12th take of our second episode. Paul, let's start with you because you seem incredibly happy today, which is good. Which
you're
means,
very hyper today.
I'm very hyper.
Talk us through, Paul. Why are you so...
I've had some good news.
Tell us.
But I don't know. I have had some good news, but I don't want to confirm it because it hasn't actually been confirmed. Like, it's been suggested. Basically, obviously, we spoke... it's to do with the house.
Excellent.
Still with the house, I had an email to suggest a completion date, and tomorrow I'm hoping that the suggestion is then, you know, confirmed. So
fantastic.
I'm quite excited, to say the least.
Well,
so hopefully by next episode you might have some sort
hopefully,
of update for us.
Hopefully when this gets released on Friday, I will know what's happening. But let's just say there's talks of me being in my house the following Friday. So what date is that?
That's incredibly quick.
So that'll be the 5th of February.
Is this when you get your new setup and you are the podcast setup king?
Yeah. I think what I am going to do is invest in a better camera because this one is not very good.
Fantastic.
Not very good.
And Ryan, how are you? Let's go to Ryan. Over to you, Ryan. How have you been?
Thank you. Do you know what? I think people think I don't actually like wash or change because I've just realised I'm wearing exactly the same sweatshirt as last time. Trust me, I do wash, definitely. I'm good. It's been a really interesting, busy week. I'm really proud that us as the collective are actually recording this on time. We all were present this afternoon or this evening for this session, which is good. And it was good to see that our first YouTube video went out last week as well. Just doing a little bit.
We're all on YouTube. We're still in the learning stages, you know, the editing and the actual substance. But I think the substance of the video was there.
Yeah,
and we'll only get better with time. Cool. We've gone to a different view this week, so you can see us all at one time.
Changing it up.
You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere, and the main thing is our first video is out there on YouTube, and that's it. You know, things can only get better.
Talking of
the times,
we're very pleased to announce our
very
first partnership deal has been struck this week. We've been doing a lot of work in the background. Drum roll, please.
My arms get tired.
Quick.
So our new partnership with Revival Fitness was announced the other day. Those who don't know Revival Fitness, Ryan's been to Revival Fitness before.
I have.
Probably one of the most fantastic gyms I've ever been to. Independently owned. The owner, Martin. Big shout out to Martin. He's a fantastic guy. And I think the reason I reached out to them to become a partner of this podcast was because they're not all just about physical well-being. They've done a lot for mental well-being, especially over lockdown. So those who don't know Revival Fitness, Stourbridge. So they're based in Stourbridge. It's a nice, is it four stories? It's a four-story gym.
Fantastic.
Anything that you want to do in that gym, they've got it there. From the chill out zone, if you don't want to work out, if you just want to go and chill out, they've got a nice pool table there. Four floors of excellent gym equipment. And just a little background, over lockdown, they've given out their equipment to paying members so they can people can still work out at home. I believe they've given out treadmills, bikes, weights, fantastic offering from Martin and from the people that work at Revival Fitness. So we're pleased. We're incredibly excited to be working with them. Go and take a look. Revival Fitness, they are on Instagram, Facebook. They've got a website. And they're currently 20% off if you sign up now. But you don't pay anything until it reopens. Yeah. So anyone in the Stourbridge area, West Midlands area,
amazing.
Go and hit Revival Fitness up.
I
might look into it because I live in Redditch, but I work in Hales Owen, which isn't too far from Starbridge.
No, brilliant. Ryan came with me once. It was probably the first gym I went to.
Yeah, it's really good. I think I'm so used to going to some of the chain gyms, and that gym's obviously independently owned, and it was really good in there. I used an app that I had from work, so I got like a kind of discount from it, but it was really, really good in there. As Lewis said, it's four floors. It's really well air-conditioned. I have to say, it's probably the most air-conditioned gym I've ever been in, but the equipment's really good standard. It's really well spaced as well. Some gyms, everything's really clumped together, but it's just so spaced. Different floors have different areas. It is brilliant. I definitely recommend it if you live in that area.
So we will put a link to Revival Fitness in the YouTube video. Go and take a look. I'm that same app that Ryan's on about has been brought over to the new company that I work for. So I'm looking into maybe signing up to that again so I can go, even if it's once a week, to go to Revival Fitness, because I think the gym there is fantastic. So thank you to Revival Fitness. And
Big shout out.
Yeah,
thank you.
So, Paul, talk to us about today's episode before we go into it.
So today's episode, we're going to just have a look at questions. Obviously, we put out some questions on Twitter. We've had some interesting answers and responses, so we're just going to go through them and give our thoughts on them and adapt on them, I suppose. Give our own thoughts.
Well, without further ado, let's get into the first question. So the first question we put out on Twitter, fairly simple. Do you suffer or have suffered with mental health? Fairly simple. 100% of people said yes.
Wow.
This links into the next question. So we're going to combine these two questions because they're quite similar. So the first question was, do you suffer or have suffered with mental health? And 100% of people said yes. The next question was, do you talk openly about your mental health? And the answers were yes or no. So out of 100% of people, 71% of those people said no.
So, that's massive.
That's huge. Wow.
It just shows that there's still a long way to go, still a big journey to go mental health. But I guess that brings us back to our first experiences, is when you first started suffering with mental health, how open were you?
Me personally, not very. It was hard, you know. Obviously, I had to understand what I was going through first before I felt as if I could speak to someone else. And I mean, we covered this in season one. You know, I personally didn't get mental health, quite naive to it, and. Yeah, just obviously when I understood what I was going through, I took it upon myself to learn about it and learn what mental health is and, you know, all different aspects of it. And obviously then I started talking about it because I was confident in the fact that it isn't wrong. You're not a nutcase when you say the word mental health. And I think obviously that's the reason for this podcast. You know, we're breaking down this stigma. You know, if the average bloke or blokes from the Midlands can suffer with it, then so can anyone, you know?
Yeah. It's quite concerning to see that, you know, people are okay to admit they've got or have suffered with mental health, but then they don't want to openly talk about it. And that's where the main issue then lies, is that if people aren't willing to talk about it openly, for whatever reason, some people might just be able to deal with it on their own, but I think, you know, it's a very, very strong statistic there that they sort of counsel each other out. What's your views on that, Ryan?
I think I think I talked about this on a previous episode, how lockdown and society has helped us talk about mental health more, but it's interesting that the statistic hasn't kind of reflected in that yet, but I do think there's a journey to go on. I think it still depends on the relationship you have with your friends and family that help you feel comfortable. I think some people have different friendships. We're in an extremely lucky point that we've all experienced mental health issues before, So we're quite happy to talk about it because it's quite a safe space. So I think people still haven't found that safety net yet, I suppose. And I think, especially for older generations, this is a fairly new thing that's kind of, you know, been talked about in society. For younger people, you can see it when you go on Instagram or social media. Yeah. They tend to be more open. But I suppose if you're, I don't know, a 16-year-old that's struggling, would you necessarily talk to your parents who are an older generation that may not understand this and may dismiss it? It's something that I
very
think
true.
Is affecting a couple of households. So I think there's a long way to go, but I think what you'll see over the next few years is the younger generation will generally get older or naturally get older, and the conversations will kind of happen a bit more. I mean, to be fair though, I'm in a similar position though. So when it was only last year I started talking about it on this podcast. And to that point, I didn't really talk about it. I didn't talk about it really with you. Lewis and we've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, very true.
So once again, but you are offered the safe place to talk about it. Quite a non-judgmental
safe zone thing. Where we can talk about anything we want. But yeah, I get your point of view there. If I was to speak to my dad when I first started suffering, he was probably the one person I wouldn't want to talk to, my mom, because I remember telling my mom, and you could just see she wanted to help, didn't quite understand it. They probably grew up in an era where mental health wasn't really, it probably was so taboo back then. Now, like if I talk to my dad and speak to him, he'd be like, oh, when he was growing up, he was get on with it, man up, get on with it. But then that's where people have suffered along the way. And, you know, I think we're in that generation, that middle generation. You know, like our parents didn't quite get the support, the understanding of mental health, but the people younger than us are growing up surrounded by a lot of support, a lot of resources, and people like us that can understand it. So, yeah, I think it's we're in that middle bracket at the moment, aren't we? So,
yeah, I mean, it's great, obviously, with our generation sort of, our generation understanding mental health, when the next generation comes, we're there to, you know, make sure that that stigma isn't there anymore. So the younger generation can grow up knowing that it's okay to talk.
Yeah, very true. Brilliant. So there's our first statistical question. It was quite surprising. Were you surprised by the answer? You surprised by the answer to that?
Yes, to be honest. Yes and no, because I'm surprised that it's so high. But also not surprised because there is that stigma. So
yeah,
I think saddened that it's that high, but surprised, you know, not really surprised that it's that high.
Yeah. Well, that leads on to the next question then that was answered. Who do you feel was harder to first open up to about your mental health? So I'll ask the question to you first, you boys first, and then I'll tell you what the stats say. So the answers are your family, your employers, your friends, or your spouse. Who do you feel was harder to first open up to?
I'd say my family, to be honest. Talking about the older generation, I don't think pretty certain they don't get it. And it's hard because obviously I've always been close with my parents, and we just don't see eye to eye on it, you know, and even now we don't. And it's quite hard because obviously quite excited with what's going on around this podcast, and I still don't feel as if I can talk to them about it because they don't want me getting involved in something so taboo like mental health. Sorry, but it's a strange one. It is a strange one. It's a constant journey, isn't it? So, I'd definitely say my parents were what was the question? The worst ones to
the hard, the hardest.
The hardest. Yeah, that was it.
The hardest to first open up to.
Yeah, Okay. I don't know why that is, whether it's, sorry, Ryan wants to talk. I don't know whether it's because, you know, there's so much love and care, you know, because obviously they're the people you're closest with. So maybe the closer you are, the harder it is. Obviously it's different for everyone, but I don't know.
Strange one, tough one. But yeah. Well, but what about you, Ryan? Who did you feel was harder to first open up to about your mental health?
I'd say work, actually. Workplace at the time was interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'd never really had to speak to my line manager about anything to do with mental health or anything like that. And typically, I think at that period of time, it's more like, you know, if you're physically injured, then that's kind of that's a conversation you would have with your line manager. But mental health wasn't a common conversation to have at the time. So I found that the most challenging based on the fact that I had to go to my line manager because I was struggling so much. I said I need some help and support. And I was really nervous for that conversation. I remember traveling to go and have that meeting. And I was really, really nervous around what the response would be to that conversation, if it would be dismissed or it would be kind of, I don't know, almost received as me kind of trying to get out of work or something. I don't know. It was quite an interesting journey to think about how that would react. So very anxious going into that, but it turned out okay. And it was still quite, I'd say, awkward and uncomfortable at some points, but it was a good conversation. So I'd say that's probably the experience. I'd say it's probably the most nerve-wracking. But glad I had it because it opened some additional doors and I'd say made conversations in the future with that person easier because we kind of crossed that hurdle.
That's good. Well, yeah, so for me,
what about you?
Family.
Oh, sorry,
yeah.
Go on, Lewis. What's you?
Yeah, that's what's me. Yeah, family. I 100% think, like with Paul, I found it hard to open up to my family about it. I think when I look back now, I don't think my mom understood 100% what was going on. So it was almost like she dismissed it as, oh, you just want some time off or you just want this. But I still don't know now if she got her head around it. Maybe she did. I remember that, you know, at one point she had to give me a bit of tough love to sort myself out. And I think that's when she sort of grasped it a bit more. But yeah, I remember having to try and open up to your family and tell them that you're struggling. Incredibly hard. And I think it is because, I don't know about you, Paul, but you feel you're letting someone down, but you're not letting anybody down. You're letting the people that brought you up, the people that gave you the start you need in life. You feel like, have you let them down?
I can kind of see that. Yeah. And like how you'd feel that way. And I suppose maybe they would feel that way. You know, if you're going to them and saying, oh, you know, I'm going through this, maybe they see it as, well, is it my fault sort of thing?
And yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's why they don't want to understand it. I don't know. There's
could be, yeah. But then my dad,
there's different ways.
My dad did understand a bit more. I don't know. I think, you know, yeah, bloke chats, didn't you? So I just remember going, I think we had a discussion over a pint and told him when you could go to the pub. You know, it wasn't last week. Don't worry, guys. I haven't broken any COVID protocols. But we just had a pint and I think he understood to a certain degree because his response was more like, I've been through that. I've seen that. But his generation were just get on with it. Whereas now there's so much help out there to enable us not to just man up, but to heal ourselves. Yeah, interesting. I think that's the way the poll's gone. So Ryan said employee. 60% of people said family. So they found that sort of, and I'd probably assume that it's probably for similar reasons. 20% of people said employee. No one said friends. And 20% of people said spouse, partner, loved one. If you had to tell your current employer that you were struggling with mental health, do you think you would be more open to that now?
I've recently moved jobs. Obviously, same with yourself, Lewis, to be honest. But yeah, I I started my job, my new job in August. And obviously in the interview, I didn't want to go into, you know, what the situation was with my children and so on and so forth. But, you know, it wasn't that long into the job where I developed quite a strong relationship with my line manager. And I was able to, you know, pull him to one side and have a proper, you know, in-depth chat about things. And it turns out he was going through the exact same thing. So it was, we actually bonded through that, I'd say. But yeah, the company I'm with at the moment, they're very, very good. I think I spoke last week about it. They're very good on mental health and they're making it a massive thing. And they do check-in Tuesdays where every Tuesday you'll get an email and you have to fill out a survey to say how you're feeling and what, if anything's on your mind and what your line manager could do to help. And obviously they're putting me on a, first aid, a mental health first aid course as well. So that would be
fantastic.
Yeah. So there, it's recognized within the company, I'd say.
That's brilliant.
Which is great.
A bit like you as well. I remember, you know, when I had my interview for this job and I didn't go in there with the, I'm going to talk about my mental health problems or mental health issues, but there's a question in the interview that I thought, you know, I'm just going to be honest. I'm just going to be open and honest. The people interviewing me and just say, explain what I've been through, where I've been, where I'm at now, why I went through it and what I did about it. And the feedback from that interview, obviously I got the job. The people that interviewed me, the gentleman and the lady, they were just said, you know, we've never had someone so honest about what they've struggled with. And I think that resonated with them because, you know, that's something that you can take forward in your role. You can, like yourself, Paul, yourself, Ron, we're in positions where probably employees look up to us or are influenced by our decision making, and what we've been through and what we've struggled with can help companies become even better with dealing with mental health. Is that, I think Ryan said it in season one, that sometimes we react when we need to react to situations. So mental health becomes a focus point in Mental Health Week, but then after that it's not looked at or it's not thought about as much. But
yeah,
I think it's on everyone's agenda at the moment. You know, I know myself as a manager, I'm more open to listening to colleagues, listening to them if they're struggling, and that helps them because they feel, you know, there is that safe place at work. So very interesting. Very interesting, boys.
How about yourself, Ryan?
I'm trying to think, to be honest. Can you come back to me? I'm having a loss of thought here, to be honest. I think I'll just kind of echo what I said before. I think, like, it's definitely on people's agenda, but I do think there's work to be done. And I think if I had a conversation now, it wouldn't be so bad, but I think it's a bit like you, Paul. I think because it's the company taking it very serious, and like you said, they do a lot of check-ins, it doesn't feel like an awkward conversation. It wouldn't feel like a big event in my kind of head. It would just feel like just another conversation. But I know that for some people, companies aren't on that track, especially with a lot of people working from home at the moment. They're probably more isolated than ever, and they probably have less conversations with their team. So it would feel like a big conversation or event, to be fair.
Yeah.
But like I said, it depends on the relationship first you have with your line manager, because a company could have the best intentions in the world and have the best policies and procedures. But if your line manager isn't kind of that understanding or listens, then it doesn't make a difference. Whereas some companies have got the worst kind of process and track record, but they've got some really good people. So I think it really depends on your line manager. I think me and Lewis, we've worked for the same person or people in the past. And I think everyone we've had different experiences with in the same company. So it is interesting. I think it really depends on the person.
It definitely does. 100% agree. I know that my manager and his manager would be on the same wavelength when it comes to mental health. And that makes me feel comfortable talking about it. I was invited onto a Teams call a couple of weeks ago for our company that had all the central regional managers in it and some people quite high up in the company, where I was asked to talk about this podcast. And, you know, because I knew my manager was on the call and his manager was on the call and they understood it, it made me feel so comfortable to sit there and talk about it. So, but I've been in positions where I have not felt comfortable talking about mental health with my manager and my line manager. And I think that makes it so much worse. So it makes you feel so, and that's when it makes it feel like a taboo subject, when you feel you can't go and talk to that person around you. But friends as well. Friends is another one, because these are the people that you have got around you in everyday life. A bit like, you know, like Ryan said, this is our safe zone. I feel comfortable talking in this. Spouse as well. Spouse is another one. Like, do we not talk to our partners because we feel weak? We feel that they'll see us as a weak person. Say, for example, this week, I'm going to be open and honest, I've struggled this week. Don't know why. Could not tell you why. I think it was on the back of the call when we were talking about the gyms and fitness. And I think, you know, I look in the mirror and I'm like, God, back to that person. But I struggled to open up to my partner about it until last night. She kept asking what's wrong, and I'm struggling. Don't know why. Can't tell you why, but I feel low at the moment. But so there's still some work to do there in our own mindsets of, you know, who do we talk to, where do we turn to, and there we go. That's mental health in a nutshell.
It is.
Getting people to open up and talk and feel comfortable about talking with the people around them. Do you feel mental health is taken as serious as other illnesses / conditions?
No. I think some are, because obviously there's different, you know, variations of mental health. You can have depression. That's mental health. Or, you know, another aspect of mental health is, you know, bipolar. And obviously, I think it's different variations are viewed differently. So, and then when you add, you know, sort of, I'm lost for words, to be honest. When you add all the others in, I think the silent killer of depression and anxiety isn't recognized the same.
No. I think that's what most people get at, because you do have mental health illnesses that are very serious, like, you know, bipolar, schizophrenia, where people, you know, these are taken very seriously because, you know, they're terrible illnesses. But then as a whole, mental health, I'm going to tell you now, 100% of people said no to that question, which shows you, you know, people think it's just not looked at. And if we look at the current situation, is it getting the support and the recognition that it needs and deserves all the time? Because mental health's a daily occurrence, isn't it? You know, people have OCD. That could be classed as a mental illness, because certain people can only do certain things a certain way. Do people take that seriously? Or you know, if it's just, why are you doing that? What are you doing that for? You know, straight away.
It's the whole, you know, it's just passing judgment or passing comment, I suppose. You know, if you keep your desk nice and clean, you've got OCD, ain't you? But, you know, as a little passing joke, but then really that person could have really serious OCD and, you know, be suffering with it, but it's just a flippant comment to the other guy walking past, you know. It's eye-opening, because something as small as that can affect people.
Yeah, that person could go home and think about that comment all day long and think, are they watching what I'm doing? Or
yeah,
they can make them uncomfortable when they go into work. So, you know, even things like, like that. But Ryan, what's your thoughts on? You've been very quiet, Ryan. Are you okay?
I'm thinking because it's an interesting question.
Do you want to talk?
Yeah, I'm trying to talk, to be honest. But Paul, shut up. is that whatever he's had for his bloody dinner, giving his energy? But I think in certain parts of society, mental health is taken seriously, but then in other places, it isn't. So I think I'd say in the police and like hospital environments, it is taken seriously. And they will act on it with obviously the results they have. But they would, if someone identified of having some sort of mental health issue, they would try and point them in the good direction or try and resolve stuff. I think in other elements of society, not so much. So I think workplaces probably and some work to do. I think if you talked about an interview, I think some workplaces would probably deem that as maybe a red flag for employment rather than something that could be quite positive or something like that. So I do think people wouldn't declare it as such in interviews or applications because they'd fear that it would kind of not allow them to progress into that role. I think, I said it before, I think some workplaces boast about it from a media point of view or PR, but don't necessarily act upon it within the actual environment. So I think there's some of that. But I think I still don't think it's recognised as much as it should be. I think once again, it's a journey, isn't it? I think it's getting talked about, but what the real difference will be is if people act on it and then do something different. And that's everyone involved in society rather than just, you know, a few influencers or people that talk about it stand up and say this is wrong and change needs to happen, and change does need to happen or else it'll just never move forward.
That's what we want to do. We want things to move forward where
everything
becomes acceptable in society, and those flippant comments that we make are not accepted in society. You wouldn't walk past someone at work who's got a bad back and say, oh, we're struggling to bend down there. You wouldn't do that, would you? So you wouldn't walk past someone who struggles with OCD that's got a clean desk or struggles with other types of mental health. So
However, going off mental health and talking about physical health, I went on the job that I had in 2013, I went on holiday, came back and was really badly sunburnt. That did not stop people slapping my back and slapping my arms every time they walked past. So
I'm not sure where we're going with that one, but
I was a bit concerned where you're going with that one.
I just felt like now we're in 2021. Now's the time to talk about it.
I really didn't think that's where you're going with that one, but okay, fair enough.
We'll take it. Well, I'm distracted tonight. Are you working?
I'm distracted because that is just the most randomest thing I've ever heard. Like
random points about OCD, at the podcast.
Then the next thing you're getting
what I was saying was people just walking past you wouldn't judge comments, but it wouldn't, you know, they won't say something, but they quite happily slap you on the back. Me anyway, it might just be me, but
okay. And there's a lesson that you shouldn't get sunburned, isn't there, really? But
there's always a lesson in this, yes, fantastic.
There's always a life lesson there, Paul, but
so I'll just show up now.
The last question for us to discuss tonight.
It's not sunburn, is it?
It's definitely not sunburn. No. But yeah, fantastic analogy. I think, are you trying to get to the thing of there, you wouldn't walk past someone's desk and make a comment, but you might mess their desk up?
Yeah. Right. I mean, to be honest, I have.
But you wouldn't, would you? You wouldn't mess someone's desk up, would you?
No, it depends who it was. Like, if there was...
Thanks, Paul.
If you were involved in office wars... Like I've taken wheels off chairs and stuff like that, which is quite fun.
Someone's watched too much of The Office.
I need to stay away from you. I'm not going to come work for you. Christ, I'll come in one day.
There was the tin foil, everything in the office wrapped in tin foil. There was loads of stuff that we've done. And
if you think about that,
Go on.
Did you at the time ever think that someone could take that the wrong way?
No, I didn't. I did not. But I was quite what's
young,
the word?
Youthful.
Aware. No. I was aware that this me and this guy had initiated, we were both involved in this office war.
Oh, so there was an understanding.
It was mutual hatred for, I wouldn't say hatred. It was just mutual fun, to be honest.
Things like that, you could do that to the wrong person.
You could overthink.
Or someone that, they could take that and go home and say, oh, that person doesn't like me. These things we do in society that we think are just banter. I remember a few years ago when some of our training, Ryan probably knew about the training. When does banter go too far?
Mm-hmm.
Big talking point. We could talk about banter all day long, but there we go. Wow. All about being observant, being understanding of everyone around us, and that what we do with one person could be acceptable. What we do with another person could destroy their entire day, week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm sure Paul understands very much that situation.
Yeah, I do. I don't. I've put the tinfoil away. So.
Fantastic. Right. So the last question, what is your best resource for coping with mental health?
Sorry, what was that?
You weren't listening, were you? It really hurts me when people don't listen to me.
Well, I'm here to talk if you want.
So anyway, what is your best resource for coping with mental health? So we had the options of listening, talking, observing, or hobbies. Now, I know why everyone is going to say this. I know your answers probably. My answer is quite simple. It was my best resource was the gym. Absolutely, 100%. It was my place I went. It was where I took myself away. It was where I could be around people that were doing the same thing as me. And for that hour, 2 hours that I was at the gym, it felt like nothing else existed. Nothing else mattered.
Yeah.
So you'd be very surprised to know that 89% of people said hobby or hobbies.
Okay, that's good.
So over to you, Ryan. What is your best resource for coping with mental health?
I would now say walking in current world.
So a hobby?
Yeah, so definitely a hobby. Paul, pass the baton on to you.
I'm going to switch it up.
Hey, Paul loves his switcheroos, doesn't he?
Wiki, this is going to be tinfoiling people's car.
Yeah, that's a hobby, believe it or not. No, I'm going to say both. I'm going to say listening and hobby because we covered it in season one. I do a lot of, meditation? Basically listening to motivational speakers.
Oh, yeah, I remember that YouTube episode, meditating.
Yeah, so I do a lot of listening, so... Same again, every morning, get up on the way to work, I put on YouTube and listen to motivational speakers. Do it every morning without fail on the way to work.
Is it our podcast?
It's not because it's just not. I'm going to be honest, it's not. But, you know, there's a few people out there like Eric Thomas, David Goggins, Tony Robbins, you know, loads of people like Jim Rowan.
These names, I'm just going to put it out there, sound very made up, but I
do.
I
really do.
No, honestly, you YouTube it. Eric Thomas.
I assume they're all
amazing,
real people, but that, yeah, the way you just put everyone's name out there,
yeah, you really made them sound like they're
no, it's not, but it's because I listen to them every day, so they're just. They were just there rolling off the tongue.
Okay. So listening / hobbies.
So hobbies would be obviously the gym. So whenever this is it, I am struggling because fucking hate work. So I'm not allowed to swear. I dislike working out at home. It's hard, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I've got
resistant bands galore in the bottom of my wardrobe. Do I want to use them? No.
No.
It's not the same as lifting a dumbbell or.
No, it's not. It's really not. But it's the whole, we spoke about this before, the whole environment, you know, putting your headphones in at the gym. That is those four walls that you're there to hit beast mode and get it
done.
Safe
zone.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly that. As I keep going back to season one, you know, I said sometimes I'll just go there and just sit there because I'm in the environment off the gym, you know, and that was my safe place. So I am struggling a lot, to be honest.
So you take me, take you. Ryan can walk as much as he possibly likes. That's what he enjoys. Take the likes of me and you and probably me, thousands of people across the country. How are you coping at the moment without that coping mechanism?
I touched upon it last episode. Focusing on fitness, but the other side of it, so the nutrition. So I'm, you know, as I said, I'm currently in the calorie deficit because I want to lose a bit of body fat, and you know, I'm focusing on the calories that I'm eating and what type of food that I'm eating and things like that. So I'm still working towards my fitness goals, but from a different angle, you know. And you know,
have you cooked recently?
Have I cooked? Yeah, I cooked tonight something little. It was just like chicken wraps. It was really nice, like Mediterranean chicken, like a nice tortilla wrap, and it was lovely. But what I did do, I've already spoken about this last week. Cooked some meatballs.
You're laughing at Lewis. You've got a right little smug face.
It's Paul talking about his cooking because he was saying, I mean, last episode, how much he hated the process of cooking because.
I remember now. Yeah, you changed it a little bit. What's
time consuming, and it was by the time you finished cooking, you didn't want to eat it. And... So tell us now, meatballs. What are you cooking this week?
I mean, to be honest, I need to do my weekly food shop. Go to Aldi and get it done.
Oh, I did my weekly food shop today. Yeah,
decent. So one thing I'd love
as well.
I made them turkey mince, a little bit of seasoning, and bit of breadcrumbs. Made my own breadcrumbs. wrapped it together. Mixed it. No, but to be honest, I do like cooking a stir fry. I know it's really easy. It's not really cooking. You just whack chicken in the pan, whack the vegetables in, the sauce and noodles, and that's it. But it's really nice. So.
Cooking is my coping mechanism when I get into that kitchen. At the moment, yeah, I'd like to be healthier with our food choices, but you know.
You know, whacking like chicken nuggets in the oven isn't really
what I cook. No, I told you this. Although tonight we just had jack potatoes, nice and balanced. Yeah, I'd say, But you know, after this, I might have a cup of tea and some chocolate hobnobs. But you know, that's a different story.
So you're coping by cooking
when I can cook. Yeah, when I'm in the mood to cook.
Yeah.
When I'm not in the mood to cook, yeah, I struggle sometimes. Really, like, I just want to be able to say, I'm going to the gym. I'm just going to the gym.
Yeah.
4 or 5 times a week. That's what I do miss. But, you know, my company's got a nice initiative coming in February, which I can't wait to get started with. I'm helping front it. So it'll be a fantastic thing to do.
That's good.
But there we go. That was the questions. There's some big insights there.
Yeah, good questions.
I'm not sure I'm 100% surprised about the answers.
No, but I think useful though. It's good to put into perspective.
It is, absolutely. Interesting to see I think the takeaways from all of that is there's still a lot more that needs to be done.
Yeah. Yep. What I would say is, I'd like to add, for us to add a question if we've got time.
We've got time, Paul. You fire away because we know you love your questions.
Oh, God. I wasn't ready.
What?
I wasn't ready. Yeah, no. Let me just get my notes up. My question is,
yep.
I don't know.
How can you add a question and
not how can you suggest adding something that you don't know what you're going to say?
Are you expecting me to edit this out of the podcast because you fluffed your lines there?
Bloody hope so. No, my question would be, what's the first thing you do when you realise you're a bit down or struggling?
I'll tell you exactly what I do, and the future wife absolutely hates it. Put the PlayStation on.
Okay.
Put the PlayStation on. There's a person I play with, Lee Hartill, if you're listening. Absolutely love playing with Lee Hartill. We play Warzone, and it's not because I don't want to spend time with my partner. It's not because I don't want to watch the movie she wants to watch. It's because that at the moment, I don't know why you're laughing, that at the moment,
just funny when, how I you say
feel, when I feel down, when I feel low, that is my world away from normal. I can go into that world. Everything's different. We're just having a laugh, playing along, and I haven't got to worry. I'm not worried about anything. So, yeah, I turn on the PlayStation and just have a few games, a couple of games, 2, 3, 4, 5 days long, and we just chill out.
Awesome.
Wow. What about yourself, Paul? Oh, we'll ask Ryan first.
Well, yeah, I was waiting for Ryan.
There is an answer, but I think I don't want to say it. So normally I'd go and eat, to be fair, but I'm look like I'm quite healthy. No, I think if I feel down, I'll go and take some time to myself. So if I'm feeling like a bit overwhelmed or something in my mind, I normally will go in the car and drive around for a bit and just like kind of maybe sit in silence in the car, kind of just keep turning left or right, whatever. And just it's probably a safe space just to think and have my thoughts. And then I normally come back into the situation feeling a bit refreshed. Because I think sometimes when I'm down, I'm in the house, and obviously people feel the same around lockdown and stuff. It's hard to just go, right, I'm going to sit in another room and stare at four walls. So it is nice to get out, even if it's like, you know, snowing and you need to get off the road. But it is good to get out. So, yeah, that's what I'd normally do as a coping mechanism.
Drum roll, please, because we are about to have Mr. Hannah's answer. Fire away, Paul.
Probably prepared, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Embrace it. So what I do, a bit of a weird one. If I am feeling down, it's usually for a specific thing, to be honest. I will embrace it. I'll engage in a good cry. Maybe put a song that not necessarily triggers me, but, you know, makes me emotional.
Okay.
Embrace it. But then what I will do is pick myself back up and, I don't know, like go after something and, I don't know, as soon as I get off the floor, I just feel motivated. I'm just like, right, that's done with. Let's crack on and let's get it, you know. So it's sort of, yeah, I'll embrace it to then realise what needs to be done, sort of thing. So a bit deep, I know, but...
We accept all answers on this channel. Yeah, it's interesting to see what our coping mechanisms are now. What they used to be. It'd be interesting to see when gyms reopen, if we go back to that. I 100% think I will get back into that groove. But no, fantastic. Well, that concludes what would normally be question time. Very long question time this week. What's coming up next, Paul?
I think it is Lewis, Paul's and Ryan's top tips of the week.
Top tips of the week.
On the week.
Right, okay. So.
How do you know me?
Ryan, dropping you in there. You are first on the list today. You get to pick who's next. So, but first, it's Ryan.
Oh, well, I know who that's going to be straight away. Paul, get yourself ready.
Ryan, fire away with your top tip. Tell the viewers there your top tip of the week.
Top tips this week. So I'm trying to remember what I said last week. I think last week was reaching out to people and being kind and all those sort of stuff. Or those, no, those are the three goals I selected last week. So this week is a top tip. I would say, similar to a little bit to last week, but extending it slightly.
Okay.
So, including your friends and your family in this one, if you haven't heard from someone in a while, could be a week, could be a couple of months, reach out to them today or when you're listening now. So have a look in your text, WhatsApp, you know, message or whatever, and look at the last time you spoke to someone. So if it was last week, text them straight away and say, how's everything? How are you coping in lockdown? Something as simple as that. And check in on people that you haven't spoken to in a while. That's my top tip this week. Short and simple.
I like that. That's good.
Very good.
People?
Because I did that exercise yesterday and it actually was really interesting to get so many texts back straight away saying, yeah, good. It's really good to hear from you. So
that's good. That is. Reach out to people. And while I wait 3 to 4 working weeks for you to get a reply to me. So I'm used to
it. If you go on Ryan Price, you'll be able to get an instant reply.
Okay. So, Ryan, who would you like to ask to give their top tip next?
Well, I would like to pass it on to someone we haven't really heard of tonight. So, Paul, do you want to take it away?
Paul's top tip of the week coming up.
Oh, you know it,
Paul.
I didn't even know you were here. We kept forgetting in that quiet.
What is your top tip of the week?
My top tip of the week is...
Suspense again, Paul.
Suspense.
Totally off the cuff. Work hard. Work hard. So, whether it's your job or whether it's, you know, personal goals, just work hard at it. Make sure you're motivated enough to work hard. And, you know, that can, you know, if you are struggling, then if you try and change your focus onto something that you're working towards, or, you know, as I said, it could be at work or it could be your personal goals, then, you know, you'll just... Happiness comes from progression. And as long as you're progressing, then, you know, you're doing the right thing, I suppose. So in a roundabout way, make progression, work hard, progress.
Or eat loads of marshmallows, as Paul seems to have done tonight, which is why he's got the giggles.
Paul is so hyper. How many sugars have you had in your hot chocolate?
He must have had a few in his hot chocolate earlier.
How pissed is he already?
I don't drink. So to summarize, sorry, get serious. My top tip was be motivated and work hard.
Fantastic. Wow. I like that, Paul.
That's beautiful.
We'll ask you next week how motivated you've been this week. Hopefully you've got some fantastic news for us at the end by next week.
Yeah, you've cooked for us, hopefully.
I bloody hope I have some good news.
I would like to see a recipe that you have cooked that we can put on our Instagram page to say, look what Paul Hannah did this week.
I think we should go further. Cooking with Paul. I think we should put a YouTube series out just cooking with Paul.
Well, the next episode is Paul in the kitchen cooking up an awesome
meal. Yeah, so we just watch him cook.
And I
was, to be honest, I do enjoy baking as well. I bake with my eldest son Theo.
Cookies.
So we make cookies. We make cakes. We don't make flapjacks. It's just cookies and cake. To be honest,
flapjacks.
Nice rainbow cake we make, and it's bloody lovely. Bloody lovely. So maybe I'll document it next time we do it.
I think you should.
I think we definitely need a cooking lesson. I think that'd be really good.
Fantastic. Thank you for your
time. And Lewis, last but not least, what's your top tip of the week?
Short and sweet. Top tip of the week from Lewis is find time to relax. Very simple. We live in a world at the moment that is controlled by doing things, and things change all the time, and you know, we're always on the go, we're always having to do things, but find that time in the day. If it's 10 minutes just to relax, if it's at work, go and take 10 minutes away, have a cup of tea, relax. Because if you're on the go all the time, constantly, and you don't find that time to relax, eventually you will hit a point where you can't do anything more. So there's my top tip. I'm not going to elaborate and go around the bushes like Paul Hannon's top tips do. Just find time this week to relax and take yourself away from everything. That's tickled Ryan somehow.
I don't know, it's just funny. I love Paul's stories, they're really good.
Yeah, fantastic. They are the highlight of this podcast.
I learn a new thing about Paul every week. So last week he hates me, this week he loves it. So it's so
I think he's been in the kitchen this week. Have you bought a cookbook this week, Paul? Is that all you've been in there?
No.
Has Uber Eats stopped delivering or something?
Uber Eats is down in Redditch.
So yeah, it's been a lovely season 2, episode 2.
Fantastic, you enjoyed it.
Can't wait.
I like these formats. I like questions. And the questions are interesting. It's good. We look
forward
structure.
To the next episode. It's not been planned in yet. We don't know what we're going to be talking about, but stay tuned because we will be back with another episode.
Valentine's Day special.
Yeah, Valentine's Day special coming
Valentine's
up.
Valentine's Day special.
Is that where we invite our partners onto the podcast?
Hang on, wait.
That's
just pull the camera, a teddy or something.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. She's not there.
Lost. She's not okay. There. We'll think of something.
What are you looking under the bed?
Because I need to blow her up.
Next episode, I'm going to try and get a guest on the show. That'll
be good.
Spice things up. Give us a new perspective. Perspective. So stay tuned. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter and follow us on Instagram. And we will see you next episode.
Peace.